Good morning, everyone. Spring County Board of County Commissioners meeting, now come to order. First order of business, if anyone has any cell phones or any other audible devices, if you put them on silent now, not to disrupt the rest of the meeting. And if you'd stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving along now to item number three. This is discussion and possible action. This is the approval of the agenda for this date, May the 2nd, 2017. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? Hearing enough, I get a motion for approval.
I'll make a motion to approve today's agenda.
I'll second.
Moved a second to approve the agenda for May the 2nd. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number four. This is our consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing enough, I could have a motion for approval.
I'll make a motion to approve today's consent agenda.
Second.
We moved a second to approve the consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number five. This is discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. How about if we start off? I know that Greg has another meeting coming up, so Bum Hess, county lobbyist.
Thank you, gentlemen. Good to see you, commissioners, and Pat. Good to be here, and everybody else. Just giving you a quick update on things down at the legislature. A lot of things going on down there, and I do have to be at a meeting at about 11:15. But I have quite a bit to discuss, but since I have to be there, I'll go over some of the important ones. The legislation just finished the second most important deadline, which was Tuesday, the 25th of April. If a lot of those bills didn't get out of the first house, they will die. So there was, I believe, about 272 bills that did not make that out of the 1,071 bills that were introduced. So out of those, there was 272 that were killed, and there's a lot more that will be coming up to the next deadline, which will be in late May. So we're going to keep you posted on that. Some of the bigger bills that we were looking at, such as SB 57, which is our VMT bill, that passed 21-0 for us. A lot of great work done on that, and it was heard last week in Assembly of Governmental Affairs. Pat and Jack both testified on that, and it was heard favorably, so we're looking pretty good on the VMT bill there. SB 8, which is a grant for body cams, passed out of committee and again was heard favorably in the Senate, and this provides grants mostly for rural counties for body cams for the Sheriff's Department. Unfortunately, SB 439, which is our 5-cent diesel tax, didn't quite make it. Passed out of committee, but was killed on the Senate due to the LCB declaring that it was a two-thirds bill. Unfortunate that happened. Not a lot we can do on it at this point, but we're, there's still always hope, until the very end in this. And this is in the legislative process as these bills are starting to die. If they don't pass the second house in late May, that's when you're going to see a lot of the gerrymandering of these other bills that have died hop onto other bills. So that's when everybody really has to really pay attention to what these bills say when they go into these committees and or Senate or Assembly for votes. The big one that we got killed, which was the impact fee bill, which was AB 153, which was directed strictly at Story County. And as what this did, it would have allowed Washoe County and Lyon County, although Lyon County was not in favor of it, nor was Washoe, but it would have allowed them to stop a lot of our buildings until they go through their own process. So essentially, we would have had to have gone through three or four different counties to get approval to build anything, whether it's not just in TRI, but in Virginia City and or the Highlands if there's any special use permits out there. So that bill was deadly to the counties, and we were able to get that killed, and that bill will not be back. So if you have any questions, there's a lot more out there, and I'll give you guys an update later today, kind of an overview of where we're at. A lot of it's bills that we share with Mary Walker, and so a lot of them are Lyon County bills, which a lot of times we do support Lyon County because they help support us. So I'll send those bills and some of the overview of what's happening in Lyon County as well, so you kind of see where that's at. So if you have any questions, I'd be glad to try and answer them for you. And as I said, I see Jack and Marshall and Pat and Lance down there quite a bit testifying. And last week we did very well, and you guys were there. I mean, I don't think it was just my opinion that it went favorably in governmental affairs. I thought that it was well presented, and I thought they looked at it pretty well.
On the SB 88, the body cameras, there is going to be an offer of a one-time grant to purchase them, and it's just for the counties under 100,000.
Correct.
Okay. On the SB 491, those are the voting machines. That's the voting machines. I guess the Secretary of State will allow that you can purchase them through the state, or you could actually lease them if you don't want to buy them. The diesel fuel tax, 439, they're actually calling that a zombie bill right now because there is a chance that it could be brought back to life, to speak of. And the reason, one of the primary reasons why it died was because there was no hard written statement in there saying that this is not for dyed diesel or diesel for our pickup trucks and stuff like that. And so NACO is actually going to go back and rewrite that to have that in there. And then I guess the Gutherson and Settlemyer are the ones that need to be approached to get it turned over. So I guess it's basically dead, but there might be some legs to it. We don't know.
It's on life support, but they're still being fed oxygen.
And we talked to both Gustafson and James, and I would go to the sports book and bet on this one.
Okay. I haven't talked to him myself.
I am testifying today also on SB 54 for in assembly taxation. That's the
Lyon County. What time is that?
4 p.m.
Okay.
And upon testifying for the VNT bill last week, I felt pretty good about it. I think we did a good job.
I didn't see any.
There's no opposition to speak of.
The only thing that is not beneficial to us is a past 21 zip. And, I mean, I think you even heard that from Senator Neal, or Assemblywoman Neal, that they don't like passing anything just automatically just because the Senate does it, because there's a little rift there. So I mean, if it passes and theirs, if we just lose one vote, that's fine too.
Any other questions? No? Okay, thanks, Mom.
All right,
let's see here. From the Sheriff's Office, Chief Deputy Dosa?
Nothing to report, thank you.
Okay. The community chest and library, Sean Griffin.
My name is Sean Griffin, community chest, and I want to introduce my client Lazzarino. She's our youth program director and manages all the programs over at the community center. So the big news is either later today or Thursday, we're going to sign our building contract with Shaheen Beecham to start phase two of the community center. It's taken a long time, and we've, I think, narrowed down all the bridges we have to cross. They've been great. Our architect's been great. We're very excited. We're going to cut back on a few things to get us within our budget, but hopefully the start date will be May 22nd and finish date by February 22nd, 2018. I had spoken with Pat in a meeting earlier about having all of you join us for a groundbreaking and doing something fun. I don't know what we'll do. Maybe we'll get Jimmy Buffett to do some music, but we'll do something fun. And then, obviously, when we open the center in the middle of winter or sooner, we will have a big celebration. It's a great day for Story County. Just so you're aware, we've raised now $1,000,035 in private money for this facility.
Good job.
Which is remarkable. And there's so much goodwill among the foundation community that the last donation came from the Heart Foundation. When I called them about a month ago, they said they had no money to give. They'd already committed all the resources. And this is after we'd beaten these poor foundations to death with 100 requests before this. And so she said, send me a request for $5,000 or $10,000, and I did. Their board met. She called me a week ago Monday and said, we're going to commit $50,000 to this project as a matching gift because we want it done. And that's, again, three times more than I asked for, knowing that they had no money. 25 now, 25 in 2018. It's just huge. This is the third gift that's come to us with no proposal for much more than we asked. That's the goodwill that's surrounded around this project. So hopefully you'll see a lot of, big machines over there real quick, and we'll be putting up a structure, and we're going to have a whole lot to do in there. It'll be wonderful. And maybe you want to just say hello. Good morning. And I wanted to bring her because she'll be managing the project, and she's our lead person. So.
All right. Terry, welcome aboard.
Thank you. Thank you, Nathan.
You have any questions? Or?
Question, Sean?
I'll make sure I get a word to Pat. We're thinking some kind of groundbreaking ceremony end of May. We'll have to schedule it, of course, when the crew is going to be there. They have to stage the job, and it'll take, I'm guessing, 4 to 6 weeks to get the crew up, to get everything ordered. And then when we know when that rough date is, I'll say something to you guys, and we can, it'll be informal, just fun. It's all a minor celebration. And I'll try to get as many of the foundation people there as I can to honor them, too. It's a huge step forward for the county. Huge.
Congratulations, Sean.
Congratulations. Thank you.
It's a big step forward for your organization.
Yeah.
I'm over at Community Relations, Sherry Nevin.
Good morning, Sherry Nevin, Story County Community Relations. Just a reminder that the Virginia City Residential Dump Days are occurring this Thursday through Saturday at our transfer station here in Virginia City. Any Story County residents can utilize that service. They're going to be open from 8 to 4, and they do take a lunch break between 12 and 12:30. So I'd encourage folks who have extra rubbish and such to dispose of it during this time. There is some parameters on what they will accept and what they won't accept. That information is on our website. It details that out. Several of us continue to work with FEMA through the disaster process. Dean is doing a lot of the heavy lifting at this point with these FEMA crews. It's quite an intense process, but we're making our way through it. We also have the open house for the Courthouse Slammer and County Museum scheduled for May 31st from 5 to 7 p.m. We invite everyone to join us to take a look inside and see what's been done. And we still have a little bit of work left, but I think it's a good overview of what you're going to expect to see in that facility there. So on May 29th, the Mark Twain Community Center will be dedicating their Veterans Memorial. This has been a project they've been working on for several years. That's going to be May 29th, actual Memorial Day itself, Monday at 2 p.m. I'll have more information, but they would love to have all three commissioners there if you're able to join them for that event. Joe Curtis and I attended this past Friday and Saturday a historic preservation training series called CAMP. It's a Commission Advocacy Mentoring Program. Carson City Planning Office got a grant, and they hosted it. It was a wonderful training opportunity to see how we can interact At the county level, as well as the historic preservation, the Comstock Historic District Commission. And once we've kind of seen this and the training that they offer, I'd like to see if we can bring that here to the Comstock and perhaps get a few more of our Historic District Commission members represented at that. We had a few, and I'd like to see more, just so they're aware of, you know, new things going on in historic preservation and what we can do to make our historic district even better. So that's all I have.
Any questions for Chair?
No. Thank you, Chair.
All right. Let's see here. Representing the Canyon GID, Mitch Andrini. Do you have something to report today, sir?
We'll come up real quick.
Come on up. Since we see you in the audience, we figured you must be here to tell us some
good news. Chairman, Commissioners, Mitch Andrini, Canyon GID manager. I just want to say, you know, we've been interacting a lot over the last few months, and thank you guys for what you did for us in the water area down there and got us back on track. And we're doing well, and, you know, it's going very smooth. I agree with Sherry. We've been working through FEMA with FEMA on this stuff, and it's cumbersome. They call every day until you get all your ducks in a row and you give them the what they need, and then you don't hear from them anymore. But anyway, it's, we're working on that, too, with the county also. That's going well. They've been pretty good, actually, but there's a lot of people to work with. So I just want to say thanks and say hi, and I'll get up here more often.
Great.
How's the river looking down?
Very high.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's about 4 feet.
From the top?
From, yeah.
Okay.
It's about 3 feet underneath the bridge there, the main bridge. And
okay.
I think it's under control. There, the creek's actually backing up from the river pretty far. There's not much water in the creek anymore, but the water from the river is backing up pretty big. So, anything else? Okay.
Great. Thanks, Mitch. Public Works Director Jason Bentenhabel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Kind of some good news and bad news on the upcoming sewer project. I'm a glass kind of half full. So good news is that the bid openings are this Thursday, and so we'll be embarking on the project here soon. The bad news is that with the lift stations in the Gold Hill area, we're having some electrical issues. We need to get three-phase power down there, and that's a developing situation, but it's not anything we can't overcome, but it may turn into something significant, so I'll keep you posted. Things have been drying out enough for us to get some patching done around town. We've been able to get some shoulder work done out in the Highlands and gradually putting the infrastructure back together. Hopefully before the next time that I report to you, we can get 6 Mile buttoned up. We'll keep our fingers crossed on that, so that's on the short to-do list. Tomorrow I'm having a meeting with Far West to start embarking on this upcoming summer's road projects. I've tentatively slated all of the projects to be down in the Mark Twain area, and that's part of the whole 10-year program that I've put together to address the county roads. By being able to bundle the roads in one area, we won't have the mobilization costs for various areas around the county. So because of the sewer project, it's going to be, of course, tearing up the roads here in Virginia City, it's not worthwhile to put effort or money into them right now. So after the sewer project, we'll come back to Virginia City. But right now, we're going to put the effort set into Mark Twain. Should be able to address that this summer. With the nice weather that's coming, the pool and the parks are getting open and operational. The pool should be ready to go on time, although we're still having some problems with having enough lifeguards and some of the timing of getting all the potential lifeguards certified. So we may have an issue opening the pool on time for all of the end of the school year parties, but that's not a matter of having the pool ready. It'll end up being a matter of the lifeguards. If so, that's a dynamic situation as well. Thank you.
Great. Any questions? Nothing? Great.
Thank you, Jason.
Well, it's the fire department, Chief Nevin.
Nothing at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Our Director of Security, Melanie Keener.
She just stepped out.
She stepped out? Okay. Community Development, Dean Haymore.
Few opportunities to come back up and do this, so I don't want to miss them. So yesterday we went out with two FEMA teams throughout the whole county, looked at close to 78 sites, and started the calculations of cost recovery and everything else. Also with that, there's some mitigation that we don't have to do it, but if we don't get it in at this time and put it in as a project, then we can't come back and ask for it later. So there are some mitigation projects that we're going to ask for in the Mark Twain area, Lockwood area, and maybe down in Painted Rock. One of the things Public Works, Jason, needs to do is move that maybe bridge, and we're looking, and hopefully we can target that maybe bridge to be put down at Painted Rock. Find some funding and things to put that in so we have a rated bridge that the fire trucks can go across and trucks can go across, because the current bridge installed down there in 1902 is unrated and we can't run heavy equipment across there. So that's one of the things I'm trying as a long stretch to get as a mitigation, because we have quite a bit of repair to each bridge or bridge abutment throughout the county that the insurance will pay for. But we have to come up with those numbers. In that, we have met with the engineer that we've hired to do some of the mitigation for the insurance. And we asked him last week, 2 weeks ago, to put a bid packet together so we can go out on all the insurance jobs and bid it as one big project. Bridge replacement, work here on the chimneys. The insurance company agrees that this whole roof on this side needs to be removed and put back on, and they are willing to pay for that at this point. I'm talking to them so we can match it or match this whole side if we can't match it identically. So we're doing that. We issued a permit to Studio 6 to build their full on last Friday. Stacy issued that. So Studio 6 will be under full construction. My department's running a little bit behind on plan check because we're getting slammed with tons of plan checks from Tesla. I'm hoping to get the Marriott's building out this week so we can get that project under. So we're happily busy trying to get through these different things, working through it, and trying to get the FEMA recovery going also. Any questions?
For Dean? Great. Thank you, Dean.
And if I could just add, and Dean, I haven't told you this yet, but during a second meeting that you couldn't make this morning or didn't need to make, Chris Hood sent me a text, and then I talked to him briefly. Just to give you an idea of what is going on, just on that one project on Tesla Panasonic, Chris has a to-do punch list today that looks like it's 44 items, if I'm reading it right, or 43 items. I have no idea what they are. When he sent it to me, I said, this is all Greek, but I guess they're HVAC and cathode related. So it's definitely busy out there for these guys.
I walked that with the fire department, Fritz and Patty and their people on Friday. A lot of their TCOs ran out, and I was dead tired, and Fritz text me Sunday and said, I don't know why you're tired. We walked 7.9 miles and 8 flights of stairs. And that was just going on the existing TCOs that they have, not the rest of the building that they're working out there. So they have hired and started at the Tesla building a full tour department. And so if there's people that want tours and stuff, you can sign up, go in there, and do tours. And so it's limited to different areas, but they do full tours now there at the Tesla facility. So we're busy. It's good to be busy, a lot of jobs out there being hired. We have a lot of challenges in front of us, and I'm very thankful for the opportunities I've had here. Thank you.
All right. We've got about 60 days to wrap it up.
Maybe.
60. Director of Communications, Dave Ballard.
I love you to report today.
Director of Planning, Austin Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be brief. Just want to give the public, I always let them know the next Planning Commission meeting. That'll be May 18th. That'll be in Lockwood. It's going to be in Lockwood to mainly discuss the strategic plan. And part of that strategic plan meeting will be an education session on budget, where money goes, where it comes from, and all of that sort of matter. And then that will begin a process, the same thing for all the communities. At that meeting, we'll also discuss Title 17 and 16 and development standards as a non-action item related to large planned unit developments, subdivisions, and for apartment complexes, not necessarily just buildings, but apartment multi-building complexes. And then I want to give you an update that the parking lot next door is all but complete. There's some wiring to string through a couple areas for Tesla chargers. Tesla has donated the charger systems, and they've also donated a universal car charger that will be installed here in this next week. There's some fence repairs will get finished. There are rules that will post on signage in the back end of the parking lot, like no camping and limited time parking. And then there's some adjustments needed for the lights. Right now they turn on during the day and turn off at night. They're not supposed to do that. Jason Van Hevel from Public Works talked about the lifeguards. He and Susan have been doing a great job trying to recruit in the community. Jesse's also going to put in the newspaper a small article saying, please send your kids to apply for this if you would like the pool open. And they'll do things like that to try to get that last person on board.
That's it. Perfect. Any questions for Austin? No. Great. Thank you, Austin. Over to the Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
Nothing at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Deputy District Attorney, Mr. Willis.
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
County Manager, Mr. Whitten.
The good news is, Mr. Chairman, I only have two items. The bad news is they're very lengthy. Commissioner McGuffey asked me last week to get an update on our zip code and to hopefully provide that monthly. Things definitely move slow back in Washington, D.C., and especially, I think, given the current political climate. But Dan Maurer with the Porter Group provided me this that I'll read into the record and then provide the clerk. In the opening months of the 115th Congress, Porter Group was happy to say that the Postal Reform Bill, which provides a new comprehensive zip code for the entirety of Story County, has already been passed by voice vote through the Oversight and Government Reform Committee, something that didn't happen during the last Congress until the final few months. As you may recall, our efforts to get our postal bill passed into law last year took a turn for the worse during the closing days of the Congress as politics came into play between Senator Carper and Congressman Chaffetz. It was an unfortunate way to end the year, but we are emboldened by the fact that Congressman Chaffetz, chairman of the Oversight and Government Reform Committee, made it a priority to consider the bill in early 2017. It was non-controversial and passed the committee by voice vote on March 16, 2017. Looking forward, there are still two other committees in the House with jurisdiction over portions of the postal bill, the Ways and Means Committee due to a revenue provision included in the text, and the Energy and Commerce Committee due to the employee pensions that would be affected. Both those committees would need to either pass the bill or relinquish jurisdiction before the bill can head to the House floor. This is where we are spending most of our energy, working with Senator Heller, Senator Cortez Masto, and Congressman Amade to put pressure on their colleagues to move the bill as soon as possible, but we are running into sort of a bandwidth problem. Since the President wants to do so many things that touch the Ways and Means and Energy and Commerce Committees, they only have so much time to do so many things. We are hopeful that once the House concludes its work on the Obamacare overhaul and tax reform. The committee will move swiftly to postal reform. As for what the Senate might do regarding the postal reform, at this point it seems they will simply consider whatever bill the House has. They will likely choose to make some changes to the text, but I can't imagine the Senate will do anything too substantive. In that case, once the Senate passes their bill, the House will either accept the Senate's changes or they will get into a game of ping pong and pass the bill back and forth until both chambers pass the same bill. At that point, it goes to the President's desk for a signature, and the story will have its new zip code. With work to be done before the issue is solved, Porter Group is as confident as we've ever been that this bill will become law during the 115th Congress. We feel this way not only because of the House putting an emphasis on legislation in the early days of 2017, but also because of the major companies lobbying for the bill, which include Amazon, FedEx, UPS, Walmart, and others who are all pushing for action. So it's heartening to know that we have a lot of powerful friends on our side. I do want to point out one more thing, too. When the bill did clear committee last session, at the very end, I got a very nice email from Stephanie Walker. She handles postal matters for Congressman Amade, and her email, in essence, said she'd never seen anybody so impassioned and so committed as Dan Maurer is to try to get this particular bill through. So that's our update for now. Probably future updates will be a little more brief, like still in Congress, and we go from there. My other that I wish to provide, I think, is late-breaking news, but it's also news we've been working on for quite a while. The chairman made note that Dean only has three more meetings to be able to address this commission, and Dean heard me. I'm not sure if everybody else did, but I muttered maybe. So we have a plan, and today's the day I want to put that plan out there again, of course, subject to your eventual approval. So I'm just going to read a prepared statement that I have generated with the help of several people. With the well-deserved pending retirement of our longtime community development director, Dean Haymore, after a very successful 30-year career, we are happy to announce the future direction of community development. Story County has reviewed many different possibilities to fill this very important vacancy, almost an unfillable vacancy in many respects. A couple of models that have been considered included hiring a replacement community development director outright, or contracting out this function as other counties have done. There are pros and cons to each option. The primary concern is having someone fill this role that has institutional knowledge of Story County, can hit the ground running with little getting up to speed requirements, and has the proven leadership ability to create partnerships. Through these partnerships, it is our goal to functionally consolidate other areas to create a true one-stop shop for building in Story County. Our team has also discussed what we would like the future community development department to look like in the next 10 and 20 years. During these internal meetings, the priorities evolved to having a true one-stop shop. This includes functionally consolidating the fire district's prevention division and the building and license team into community development. This structure will provide a higher level of service to our customers, the ability to cross-train fire and building inspectors, and increase internal communications between building, fire, and perhaps even planning. Retiring Fire Chief Gary Hames was in the process of starting his own limited liability company for the purposes of providing plan review and other consulting services. After discussing viable methods for department reorganization, the county team considered the benefits of this company providing consulting services for community development, similar to models occurring in other counties in the region. With one of the goals in mind of functional consolidation and the one-stop shop concept, Gary approached the county to assess his concept in providing these contract services. This essentially brings institutional knowledge of current processes, Story County licensing and permitting background, direct knowledge of the Fire District's Prevention Division, and many years of interaction and participation in the planning process. This blends an independent contractor function, as other districts are reporting a great benefit from, as well as a 30-year Story County background serving the past 17 years as district fire chief. It is a synergy that blends county experience with private business oversight. I'm happy to announce that Battleborne Consulting Services, LLC, has agreed to enter into a contract subject to commission approval to fulfill this function. This will bring minimal disruption in leadership for the county development, community development department, and provides a bridge to functionally consolidate other areas into the community development department. With the increased growth and pace of construction, it is very important that we cross-train inspection personnel working as a one-stop shop. We must find ways to be as efficient as possible during such heavy construction that is taking place. I'm confident that this will become a model that we can all be proud of. On a related note, we're not letting Dean get too far away. After trying out retirement for the summer, we hope to bring him back on a part-time basis, both to help Gary as needed and hopefully oversee a few potential projects he and I have been working on together. I'm sure in the next few months we will all want to find a time and a way to wish Dean a happy retirement and express our hopes that he will continue to support the county and the team as he has done so well these past many years. So thank you, Dean, and we'll be seeing you. That's it.
Any questions for Pat?
Oh, and if you haven't seen it and if anybody wants it, I can send it via email. Dean is the poster child of Northern Nevada Business Weekly, this week's edition, front page, and it's called Changing Tempo, Story County and Tri-Center Prepare for Change with Retirement of Chief Leader. Great article. So, that's it.
What kind of contract length are you looking at?
We can terminate at any time. But I think our target focus has been, you know, trying to get a model established for anywhere between 3 and 5 years.
Any questions? Okay. County Clerk? Stevens? Nothing? All right. That concludes item five, and we'll move on now to, We'll move on now to item number six. This is discussion only. We'll take no action. This is review of the third quarter 2017 unaudited budget to actual review. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My apologies for limping up here. It wasn't because of the budget. It was basically because of the Virginia City Grand Prix that was conducted this weekend, and I was out in the hills trying to get a rock off the racetrack so one of those racers wouldn't hit that and go off course. Well, after I picked up the rock and threw it over the hill, unfortunately, I went with the rock. So, you know, you shouldn't be doing it when you're this old. Anyway, our third quarter budget, I will have to say as a whole, I am very proud of it. The department heads, elected officials have done a very, very good job of holding the course, understanding that we had a huge major incident in January and February and March that we were all trying to get a hold of and trying to get our arms around of, and you know, some of those expenditures may or may not get reimbursed depending upon our relationships with FEMA or the state of Nevada, and so consequently I thought that what was provided, what our manager said was pretty exceptional. Our revenues are for the third quarter is about a little over $12 million, which represents about 90% of our revenue. It indicates to me that the progression of the economy is going forward. Franchise tax fees are 143% of what we budgeted. Special use permits are 136%. Clerk fees are 197%. Assessor fees 108%. Billing department fees 200%. And interest is about 300% from where we budgeted, and that is attributed to our clerk treasurer and some very, very good financing measures that she has done throughout the year. They're incredible. From our department side, have done very well, but there are some departments that are over the 75% limit from where we are now, which indicates our third quarter. The commissioners are at 39%, clerk treasurer is at 72%, recorder is at 65%, assessor is at 69%, administration is at 71%, building grounds is at 70%, the sheriff is at 72%, community development is at 87%, and that reason is that there is an expenditure of funds for the building inspectors, and also those people that were with regard to Tesla and the groupings in the industrial park. But also, these are the people that had to go and look at the damage for all of this. Their salaries and benefits were about 15% of the entire year just in this quarter. So, just for this prior month. And so, if you look at that, that's something we can't, it will get reimbursed. How much of a percentage of that will be, we probably won't know for another 6 or 8 months. But anyway, that was the reason for that. District court, or district attorneys, with 46%. The district court was at 97%, and that was professional fees that were attributed to a murder case early on this year. We spent a lot of money doing that. It was the Hendricks case, and so consequently, that was the difference in the overage. Justice court was at 72%. Health and Human Services at 47%, Swimming Pool was at 69%, Community Relations was at 85%, and that is merely because we sent the checks that went out for the fourth quarter should have been credited to the fourth quarter. It went into the third quarter, and so consequently there will be no more reimbursements for that. Communications was at 77%, and again, this is due a lot to, as this flood is pretty much a disaster hit, our communications was full gone. I mean, 24/7 for that period of time, and that's what we need to do. So that's pretty much the explanation for those. And again, some of that money will be reimbursed. Service will be at 63%. IT is at 87%. We lost some servers. We lost some communication. So we had to do something to make sure that this didn't happen again. And there was also some maintenance to the old building that they were in that incurred that told us that they needed to move off-site from that building. The comptroller's department was at 81%. And pretty much that was professional services. That was for our bonding for the USDA project was put into the professional fees for the comptroller, and this is for phase 2 through 5. That was $15,000. Brickmore, that was a study they did in order to put our OPEB financial statement. There's a note in our audited financial statements to have for our public retirees, insurance, and things of that nature. And also, we have to, as required by statute, put in the abatements that we are getting from some of our various people in the industrial park and around Story County. That was $8,400. And then we have a contract with a gentleman by the name of Tom Gransbury, who has done a tremendous amount of work on us for all the sales and use tax issues and all of the things that are relative to the state. So that's pretty much where we underestimated that last year, and we're going to augment that this year, but they're really true and necessary expenses. Emergency management was at 53%. Planning at 53%, and we still have some contingency left, which we will probably use before we augment, and that will probably be the first or second meeting in June, to clean up some of these for the general. The special revenue funds are doing very, very well, I think. Roads is at 86% of their revenue and 59% of their expenses. They still have $327,000 roughly in road expenditures or road improvements to get done by the end of this year. And they also have roughly about $256,000 in equipment acquisition that they need to clear up by the end of this year. Our other ones are, capital projects have got a tremendous amount of funding, but we've only expended about 36% there. That will go up this quarter. Our water system is at 73% revenues and 50% expenditures, which I think stands very fair for them. The sewer department for Divide Sewer is 78% revenue and 65% expenditures. Again, a very good reading there. I'm thinking the only one that I really needed to look at was, the Virginia City Tourism Commission is at 66% of its revenues, and I think they probably overestimated the sale of the cemetery gin. I'm not real sure about that, but they have backed off, and their expenditures are only at 67%, so we'll continue to take a look at that. Fire District is at 90%, and they're at 104% of their expenditures. However, there was a transfer of money from the 474 Fire District into their capital projects fund, which is within the 474 Fire District. So, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, I think this third quarter has done very well. I think we have we've pretty much noticed the department heads and the elected officials that we don't go on a spending fury in the fourth quarter. We want to keep things as they are. Make sure that if it's important, we get it. And then we'll be able to see where we are probably in May, the end of this month, so we can properly augment the budget or take out of contingencies those departments which we had absolutely no clue. I mean, we didn't. A lot of it will probably go towards the incidents that we had just after the first of the year with the snow and the rain. We won't know if by that time I'm hoping we get some sort of idea what the revenue reimbursement will be or the refund that we will get. But if not, we will augment, and then that will be something we will get in the 2018 year.
Any questions for you?
Very good.
Yeah, thanks. This is good. It's tracking really well. I think we're going to have 96 million excess like the state is forecasting. Is that what I'm informed? Okay. Let's move along now to item number 7. These are board comments. We'll take no action or public comment. Commissioner Gilman?
Nothing today, sir. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman McGuffey?
Nothing today.
All right. Let's see. I've got a couple of things. Those who might have been in town over the weekend, able to see the Virginia City Grand Prix motorcycle race. It's like bigger and better all the time. I think they had over 1,000 racers, 500 on each day. It brings a lot of money into the community for the local merchants and that. Their staff did a tremendous job of getting out immediately following the race and getting stuff picked up and cleaned up. And of course, there might be a few laggers out there, but for the most part, I think their staff did a tremendous job of cleaning everything up. Since we're on that track, we can look next door to our newly completed parking lot, courthouse parking lot. First of all, I'd like to give credit and thank Austin Osborne for being the project manager on this. It's a tremendous endeavor to go ahead and run a job like that, and it's turned out to be just fabulous. Since I live in the neighborhood, on Saturday, which was the first weekend that the parking lot has been open since it's been completed, The parking lot was jam-packed full. Every space all weekend long was utilized, and so it's going to be a nice benefit to the community, to the business district, and to this courthouse, especially with these upcoming trials that we have. There's adequate parking, finally, for all the people who participate in what goes on in this courthouse. So, Austin, once again, thank you, and I hope everybody who was in town did enjoy the races. It was a lot of fun, and there was a lot of activity and entertainment in town. Moving along now to item number 8. This is discussion only. We'll take no action. Discussion and direction to staff regarding litigation and legislative issues proposed by legislators or by other entities permitted by the Nevada State Legislature to submit bill draft requests for such legislative issues as may be deemed by the chairman or the board to be critical significance to Story County. Specific bills will include SB 57, which staff has expressed full support, and bills SB 176, SB 244, SB 314, AB 289, SB 271, AB 290, SB 356, SB 469, and AB 384. Mr. Whitten, can you take the lead on this?
Mr. Chairman, I'll start, but my job's been made pretty easy. I was going to reference the Economic Forum numbers yesterday. That is probably the first legislative session I can remember in quite some time where the numbers came in higher than we started the session with, and $96 million is for the state is a sizable amount of money. Looks like the governor is committed to try to get as much of that directed toward K-12 education. For those that don't know, the state is under a constitutional mandate to have a balanced budget. So we can't just say, great, we got $96 million, extra dollars, we'll just hold on to it. It's got to be expended, and it looks like it will be going toward K-12. The BUM did a great job, and Commissioner McGuffey as well, discussing SB 57, our BMT bill, so I'll spend no time on that. My brief reference to SB 54 is a Lyon County bill, and as BUM said, Lyon County has been exceptionally supportive and committed as our partner and our neighbor to every committee hearing and every visit we've made to the legislators in the process. So I'll be testifying in support of their bill, SB 54. It is not a new tax. It is adding flexibility in a couple of critical areas to what we can use for the infrastructure tax, according to NRS 377B. And in essence, what it does, and this is where I think it'll be very helpful, I'm glad Sean's still here, and I'm glad Nicole's here as well with her position on the senior center boards. Typically, when times get tough for counties, the first acts that falls are in the more senior services, whether it be libraries or whether it be senior programs like our senior centers. SB 54 allows counties to use their up to 0.25 cent infrastructure tax to help fund those programs during tough times, not though for personnel costs. That was a political sacred cow with some of the people down there. So we can use it, though, to support programmatic costs if need be. So that was, we think, a very good bill. And, again, no new tax. A couple others just to briefly talk about. AB 43, this was a NACO property tax bill. They were trying to fix the swings. You can drop like a rock, but climbing back up, we always thought it was going to be 3 and 8%, and I think we're finding out we're in the twos, and a lot of the other counties are in the point twos. So it's it died. We'll spend no more time on it. Bob mentioned AB 153. An interesting one that actually we were kind of supportive of didn't make it this year, but it came in very late. That's AB 398. It would have put a tax on electric cars to be paid during the auto registration that would have more or less compensated for the fact that they pay no fuel tax at the pumps. There was a price, I can't recall, of about $400 if it was a purely electric car, and about 50% of that if it was a hybrid that ran off of fuel and electric because they were paying for some fuel. So that is dead for this year and this session. But as Bum said, nothing's ever dead until that session is over. And those are pretty much the bills that I have. Austin will come up probably and tell you there's a lot on collective bargaining and on prevailing wage that continue to work their way through. And I will tell you, there are a lot of bills on marijuana out there, a lot of bills.
I think there's like 127 someone.
Okay, Mr. Osborne, do you want to follow up?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Board, the last meeting I gave you an update pretty much of all the bills dealing with collective bargaining or the major bills. Not a lot has changed in most of those, so I really only have four I want to bring your attention to, and some aren't collective bargaining. We've met with the folks that are dealing with the historic digging bill. This is SB 244. And the folks that are supporting the bill have been very cooperative in removing certain language from the bill to make sure that historic resources, prehistoric resources, and Native American remains and those sorts of things are well defined, and so that the bill is appropriately focused on addressing its purpose with regard to Native tribes. SB 289, this is the out-of-network bill. This is that bill I talked about that would remove out-of-network doctors. It wouldn't have an out-of-network system. The county would have to subsidize that. This one is in finance right now and has a very large fiscal note from the state, so it's going through that process. It's not really going anywhere at the moment beyond that. SB 469, this is the end fund balance reopener. This is the reopen of collective bargaining agreements when a county gets to a certain emergency provision. There's been some back and forth on that. It was 25% before. It was 5% before that. Now there seems to be an agreement or a settlement at 16.67% ending fund balance before you have to bust open a collective bargaining agreement. That is at risk. It's something that may end up migrating back toward 5% with the Democrats in control of both houses. SB 477, this is residential homes for disabled, halfway houses, drug rehab centers, and zoning. This passed the Senate with 21-0. It's moving forward, but it does have a 100,000 or more provision population on it, so it wouldn't apply to us. And SB 272, domestic wells with critical management areas and other water bills that deal with critical management areas and domestic wells are getting morphed and worked with each other, and most of the critical management legislation is dead. It could come back, and I know that Commissioner McGuffey had talked about these earlier, and he's been watching them very closely with NACO. There's many other bills, but those are the ones I wanted to highlight. The other ones are... they're still on their way over to the Senate or the House.
Yeah, there's about 32 days left, I think. Last, do you have anything?
No, nothing.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Austin.
Thanks, Austin. All right. We'll go ahead and move along now to item number 9, discussion of possible action. Possible action for second reading ordinance 17-274 to repeal Chapter 8.32 of Story County Code addressing hazardous materials and toxic substances. Mr. Loomis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. This is the second time, actually it's the third time it's been back before the board on the question of repealing Chapter 8.32 of the Story County Code addressing hazardous and toxic materials. This has the support of both emergency management and the fire department in that it was believed that this had been removed some time ago. As most of the functions are now handled through the fire department and by the state. And so we're here for the public hearing and the second reading of this ordinance.
Very good. Thank you. At this time, we'll open it up as a public comment regarding this ordinance. Basically, it's just a housekeeping issue. So hearing that, if I can go ahead and...
I have a question. Mr. Loomis, I see your recommendation is to hear the second reading. Is that correct?
Yes. Well, we're just going to... the provision for the adoption of the ordinance requires that it be approved within 35 days of the second hearing. I think we can do that today because it will be within the 35 days.
Okay. All right. Are you
ready for a motion?
I'm ready for a motion. I move to hear the second reading of Ordinance 17-274 and to require publishing and hearing of the ordinance as required by statute.
What I'd ask for a motion is for second reading and approval of the ordinance today.
Okay.
To hear and approve it?
Yes.
Okay.
And approve. Okay. So strike that and I'll review this. Okay.
I'll move to hear the second reading and approve ordinance 17-274 and to require publishing and hearing of the ordinance as required by statute.
Second.
We move in a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. So let's move on now to item number 10, discussion of possible action. Possible action to approve contract with AllComStock LCC for the provision of consulting services related to the Virginia City and Gold Hill Wastewater Improvement Project. Mr. Loomis.
Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. This is a contract with AllComStock LLC, which is an LLC that was created by Mike Nevin to provide consulting services to the county and whatever other outside business he may have. But the point of the contract is to retain the services of AllComStock LLC, essentially Mike Nevin, to assist in the sewer and water reconstruction project. And that is based upon the fact that he's been very involved in the sewer project for many years and is very familiar with the whole process, and we think that he would be a great asset to the completion of that project in a successful fashion. What I would say is that the contract itself is based upon a form contract done by Douglas County, which is a contract for professional services, which is what Mr. Nevin will be providing in this case.
Okay. Would it be along the same lines as a project manager? Or?
It would not be a construction manager because construction managers are required to have contractor's licenses. Okay. This is going to be more in the lines of a consulting advisory and review nature.
Okay. Any other questions for Keith? All right. We'll open up for public comment. Anyone have any public comment regarding this? Okay. Well, I'll make a public comment on it. I don't think we could pick anyone else to go ahead and take on this job. Other than Mike, he knows the system inside now. He's been doing this for years, between his years in the fire department and now with Public Works. He knows pretty much where everything is. And we'd be hard-pressed to find someone else who's got the institutional knowledge that Mike has to go ahead and consult on this job. So with that, I'll go ahead and ask for a motion for approval.
I move to approve the entry into the contract with AllComStock LLC for the provision of consulting services regarding the Virginia City and Gold Hill Wastewater Improvement Project and authorize the chairman to sign.
Your second.
We moved in second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Loomis. Move along now to item number 11. This is discussion of possible action. The first reading for general business license applicant Jennifer Nair, owners of Palace Restaurant and Saloon, located at 54 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, Chief Deputy Dosen and I discussed this morning. This is a standard first reading. It is a transfer of ownership of business. It is just that, a first reading. So he recommends approval as a first reading.
Okay. And so as a disclosure, I also am in business in the neighborhood, and I hold a general business license. And so by voting on this, it would have no more effect on Ms. Nair or anyone else in the community who holds the same license. Mr. Gilman?
Yeah, I have the same comment and quote that you made, sir. Thank you. I have a general business license in the area. I'll be voting on this issue.
Okay. Any public comment regarding this business license? Hearing none, if I can get a motion for approval.
I'll motion to approve as part of the consent agenda the first reading the general business license for the Palace Restaurant and Saloon located at 54 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada.
Have a motion? Second?
Second.
We're moved and second to approve this business license. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Now I need to speak very clearly into the record on the next one. With the sheriff not present, we will have a continuation recommendation when it comes up on the liquor license side for the Mustang Ranch Steakhouse converting to the red light, or converting to the Virginia City Bar and Grill. However, this is the general business license, that only the commission board hears. So we do have a quorum of commissioners present. And again, talking to Chief Deputy Dosen, it would be recommended that this would be approved as a first reading by the two of you, with obviously Commissioner Gilman, I'm sure, abstaining on this one.
Right. Okay. Moving along now to item number 12. This is discussion of possible action. Amendment to the general business license for Lance Gilman from Mustang Ranch Steakhouse and Red Light Lounge to Virginia City Bar and Grill.
As much as I have pecuniary interest in the business that's under consideration, I'll recuse myself from discussion or vote.
Very good. All right. We'll open this up for any public comment. Hearing none. If I can get a motion for approval.
I'll make a motion to approve an amendment to the general business license for Lance Gilman, 5 C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, from Mustang Ranch Steakhouse and Red Light Lounge to Virginia City Bar and Grill.
I'll second your motion. It's been moved and seconded to approve the amendment to this general business license. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. This time we're going to go ahead and recess as the Board of County Commissioners and convene as the Story County Liquor Board. Taking up the next item of number 14, this is discussion and possible action. First reading for on-sale liquor license. Applicant is Jennifer Nair, owner of the Palace Restaurant Saloon, located at 54 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada. Once again, for full disclosure, I also hold a liquor license in proximity to the Palace Restaurant Saloon, and voting on this would have no more effect on the Palace or any other business that holds the same license in this area.
So I also hold a liquor license in close proximity, and I will be voting on this issue, as will Marshall.
Okay, very good. At this time, we'll open this up for discussion. Any public comment on this? Hearing none, if I can go ahead and get a motion for approval.
I'll make a motion to approve as part of the consent agenda the first reading of an on-sale liquor license for the Palace Restaurant and Saloon located at 54 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the on-sale liquor license. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving on to item number 15 now. If I could go ahead and get a motion to continue this to the next regularly scheduled meeting, which is the
16th.
May the 16th, 10 a.m. in this room.
Okay. I'll make a motion to continue this item to the next meeting on May 16th, 10 a.m. in the Story County Courthouse.
Second your motion. It's been moved and seconded to continue this to the next regularly scheduled meeting. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. We'll go ahead and adjourn as the Story County Liquor Board and reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Next item up is item number 17. And in regards to item number 17, I have a pecuniary interest in this item, and so at this time I'm going to go ahead and turn the gavel over to the vice chairman. Go ahead and take care of this item. I will go ahead and recuse myself from any testimony and abstain from voting on the item.
Okay. This item is the approval of check number 88450 to the Bucket of Blood Saloon in the amount of $4,500. Payment is for the lease of the parking lot.
Mr. Chairman, I might add this should be our final payment. I believe our contract of sale triggers July 1st, and Mr. Gallagher, our controller, is already going through the funding mechanisms, I believe, into escrow. So this will be the last time we do this.
All right. Do we have any public comment on this topic? Then I'll ask for a motion.
I'll move to approve the check number 88450 to the Bucket of Blood Saloon in the amount of $4,500. Payment is for the lease of the parking lot.
I'll second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack. Moving along to item number 18, this is discussion and possible action, business license second readings.
Stacy, do you want to do these or do you want me to do them? Okay. Community Development is recommending continuation of item P as it appears on your agenda, that is Synchreon Technology. We still have inspections going on.
That's the only one to be continued?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Which one?
P.
Item P, Synchreon Technology.
Okay, so I can get a motion to continue item P.
I'll make a motion to continue item P.
Second.
It's been moved and second to continue item P. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries.
Okay, I think Stacy makes me do this so she can hear me butcher these names, but Community Development recommends approval of all other items except for item P. So those would be A through O and Q through double K. It's quite a banner, 2 weeks. Those being Swisslog Evomatic GmbH, a contractor, Agilient Technologies, Inc., H2 Morgan, NK America, Aerial Imaging, FS Elliott Company, Viatechnic, LLC, Sonoscan, Inc., Nicholas & Company, Reno Half Nevada Staff, Inc., Peachy Frog, LLC, doing business as Nothing But Skulls, Sierra Industrial, LLC, Global Retool America, Balance Technology, Inc., Ingenuity Controls, LLC, Thyssen Krupp System Engineering, Inc., BizLink Technology, Inc., ITC Service Group, Comstock Photography, that's a home-based business in the Highlands, Odawara Engineering Company, Odawara Automation, Nagaoka Company Limited, Techless LLC, Eclipse Automation, SW LLC, Eclipse Automation LLC, Core Performance Center LLC, Prologue Automation GmbH and Company, KG, Maria Pilar Martin Rodriguez, a contractor, Duran EcoClean GmbH, contractor, State Group Industrial Limited, Shin Tech LLC, CAU Limited, Camunden Company, ASCO Power Services, NEMA Systems Automation, GmbH, LLC, Selway Machine Tool Company, all to be approved.
All right, so we have A through double K with the exception of P. That's 37 business licenses. That's pretty good haul there.
Like Dean says, the department is
busy. Is there any public comment regarding these business licenses? Hearing none, if I get a motion for approval.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve the second readings for items A through M and items Q through KK.
Second.
Oh, excuse me. May I suggest a correction? I believe we want to approve items A through O and then Q through KK.
Oh, okay. Right where I scribbled, there's an MI. So I'll redo that. I'll make a motion to approve the second readings for A through O and Q through KK.
Perfect.
Second motion.
We're moving to second to approve all items with the exception of P. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. All right, moving along to item number 19, public comment. Is there any public comment today? Going once? Going twice? See you in 2 weeks.